Welcome to Linux Link Radio by TimeSys, a podcast for embedded Linux developers.
Welcome to Linux Link Podcast by TimeSys. My name is Maciej Halasz. I'm here with Gene Sally.
Hi there.
Gene has been very fortunate to attend the Ottawa Linux Symposium this week, was it?
No, it was last week.
It
ran Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and into Saturday, believe it or not, even though I skipped out on the last part where they served cocktails or whatever else. It was just, I was over Linux at that point.
So today we're going to spend some time talking about Gene's experience, what he actually saw, what he learned at this symposium, and share some of his insight with you. So Gene, on that topic, how is Linux Symposium?
Okay, well, you go there. It's actually a very interesting technical sort of conference. I've been to other marketing tech show conferences, none of that there. So that was really refreshing in the fact that most of the talks weren't thinly veiled marketing pitches. Instead, they really concentrated on technical issues of the day. And I didn't get, there were a lot of talks. There were, I think, four separate rooms, all named after penguins and whatever else, that were going on. So I didn't get to see, of course, I could only see a quarter of what was happening, unless I played some trick where I got to be two places at the same time, but didn't work out that way.
Calling yourself.
Yeah. Yep. So I only got to see about a quarter of what was happening. And even that was an overwhelming amount of information.
So how was the attendance? Was there a lot of people?
People ask me that for the crowd, and I would probably say they were in the hundreds, but certainly not 1,000, maybe 400 or 500 people total. There were, I know the first day I was there, I went to a lecture about who changes what in the Linux kernel, and that was in the main room. There was four different rooms there. So that was in the main room, and I got up and I came in, I sat down, it was a little bit early. And I sat down, and there was no one around me because I was off to the edge where I sort of spaced out because I was reading the conference. Because I looked up, and it was full all around me. So I would guess at least in that room there were at least 400 folks there. And the topic was even by one of the kernel maintainers with respect to how much contributions are in the kernel by different people and which companies did a lot of support and which companies didn't and which folks they couldn't identify. And how things snuck up through the—I shouldn't say snuck up, but how things were structured with respect to who did what, and how that happened so that a patch got in the Linux kernel. What was happening over in the 2.6 distribution?
So I would imagine that given the audience, most of the topics, if not all, were very in-depth technical, and were intended for people to learn about the direction that Linux is going, or different subsections of Linux kernel and different open source projects are going.
Yes.
But can you talk a bit about the kinds of topics that you saw there?
Sure. So work at TimeSys, right? So I figured probably good idea if I went to things that dealt with embedded. So that's I made that decision all on my own, entirely independent. I was tempted to call in my boss and say what, but no, I did it all on my own. So I did most things that were seemed to be embedded. And it was very interesting. And real time. So even though there's two separate concepts. So I went to a few of the real time lectures, and one of them was given by, and I'm very embarrassed, Steve Rosted. And he talked about the. Pardon me?
Why are you embarrassed?
Oh, I can't remember his name. I couldn't remember his name. I could see his face, and I thought, well, I want to prepare for my podcast at least 7 minutes, and I know that was a name that I looked at. Oh, man. So the. It was given by Steve Rosted and a few other folks that talked about what was in the kernel for 2.6 in real time and the changes they were making. And if you don't know, the Steve Rosted, whenever they have real time patches come out, I feel bad for Steve because it's by Ingo Molinar, Tom Glexner, and others. Well, the "and others" is Steve. Okay, so he doesn't quite get the amount of credit, I think, for what goes on. But he's talking about what was going on for 2.6 in real time and what they're doing with respect to improving performance and increasing architecture coverage. They were quite happy that they got the preemptible stuff and high-res timers into the kernel mainline around for 2.6. Mm-hmm. And that was a big thing. It was a big thing to get in there and have as part of the regular kernel build and as part of the regular kernel system. And you know, a lot of the other stuff Steve talked about, you can look at the, if you go to AutoAnalytics Linux Symposium, use that Google thing, you get the papers in detail. But you know, what Steve talked about is a lot of the real-time problems introduced by driver writers were done out of ignorance by the driver writer themselves. So they weren't, they didn't know that, geez, you know, turning off all interrupts was a bad thing to do and would cause problems. And so there was a lot of, from his perspective and for his lecture, there's a lot of talk about adjusting the way people think about what they do so that they won't sort of upset the real-time apple cart, so to speak, in Linux as they're doing their driver work.
So what is new around Linux that you've learned during the symposium? Is there anything very dramatically like improving or any part of Linux kernel that gets really a lot of attention from open source other than real-time? Because by far real-time is a very hot topic these days.
Yeah, so there's it's not just kernel. There's a lot of activity at the Linux Symposium that looks at the other constellation of activities that happen around the Linux kernel. So there is there were several talks around small graphics utilities. I was at the Birds of Feather, BOF, BOF. I was at the Birds of Feather for Embedded, and there was a lot of talk there about creating distributions, you know, using UCLibC, and using BusyBox, and not using the standard Fedora distributions, you know, Fedora packages. Although one of the things I sensed by folks in the embedded crowd is that the existing set of projects out there don't really serve them well with respect to creating a small system. You know, a lot of the chip manufacturer board makers, you know, create these reference distributions, and that's all fine and dandy for their reference board, but a lot of developers are out there saying, "Well, geez, that's really nice. It's, you know, 762 megabytes. Can we move the decimal over just a little bit there to the left? Yeah. Because I can't afford to put that much on my board." There's also work going on with the what they call tickless kernel, which is, you know, one of those things. It's a, you know, it's attracting folks out there because of some of the architecture differences, and it does make implementing real time a lot easier if you go that route. And I know we don't want to do a long podcast today, but geez, you know, go to OLS, and there's a great paper out there about the tickless kernel and the ramifications that has in embedded even, and also in Linux in general. But that'll go miles towards helping improve the predictability of the Linux kernel when it's implemented across all architectures.
So this event has been actually targeted to people that work with Linux in general, not embedded only, but also desktop systems.
Oh yeah.
Did you see any kind of division between the two groups at the show, that that people thinking more in terms of embedded application of Linux versus people that just try to build applications using desktop computers?
That's a good question, for which I have a terrible answer. And for my experience at OLS, I focused so deeply on embedded that I didn't really go or pay attention to any of the other content. I know for the size of the crowds in the embedded and real time, there's actually a large subculture that is very interested in that. Mm-hmm. But I didn't stop by and see other things. You know, there were several enterprise track, I should say a track, but there were several papers that really focused on deployment enterprise or large-scale systems, things that really don't affect, you know, embedded engineers that much. I simply didn't go to. So so while I got a feel of what it was like for embedded and what the, I didn't get anything to contrast against, so I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's, as far as different processors and semiconductor vendors are concerned, any visibility of any specific vendor at the show? I know that some of the semi vendors were sponsoring partially the event, but I'm kind of like curious if you've seen any specific architecture or processor being discussed in more detail.
Yeah, you know what? ARM got a lot of play. Whereas at the bird, of feather, ARM seemed to be something that a lot of folks were interested in. And I think there was and I'm embarrassed, I can't remember the name of the company, but they handed out some ARM-based boards at the Bird of Feather session. But there was an interest in ARM that was much greater than I thought it would be. But I know it lines up a lot with what we see here at TimeSys, you know, yes. In terms of folks being interested in ARM. But maybe it was a good validation that I can see it's just not TimeSys seeing a lot more people interested in ARM. It's a pickup in general. There are a lot of folks quite interested in ARM, and that was interesting. And there's less of a PowerPC audience than I expected. I'm not sure why.
Yeah. It might be just a matter of topics that you attended, perhaps.
Yeah. Certainly.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you actually had a lot of fun, and you've found out a lot of things at the show. Is there anything else that you find particularly interesting that you've learned at the show?
Well, yeah, I think the shocking, well, I mean, shocking is much too strong a term, the interesting thing was the level of interest in Linux and embedded. Mm-hmm. It really is becoming something that is a common usage pattern for Linux. I know when I first got in mixed up in this whole Linux embedded thing, it was a fringe, right? And if you looked at the volume of submissions and the number of talks at OLS that focused just on embedded, you can really see that Linux is becoming a driving force in that market. Mm-hmm. And the amount of participation was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The other thing I found is that a lot of folks were in there to learn. Mm-hmm. So they may have been doing their first embedded project with Linux, and they're just getting their feet wet. So I also consider that wonderful, and that's you find out by talking to people and seeing the questions that they ask and those sorts of topics.
I think that this is actually a fantastic opportunity for embedded Linux engineers to, as you said, find out more about where Linux is heading, what to expect from future releases of Linux kernel, but also to learn how to use certain technology like real-time in embedded applications. As Steve Rostad, according to you, said, there's a lot of knowledge that is out there, but it sounds like this event is a perfect opportunity for engineers to easily access that information.
Next year, hopefully they'll let me go next year. Probably after they see my expenses, maybe they won't decline. But
well, I'm joining you then.
Oh, you're coming. Okay, so they'll make us sleep under. There's a waterway or whatever. We'll make us sleep under the stars. Whatever. But I'm sure they'll let us expense that sleeping bag. But anyway, so the one of the things I think more times is it could do a lot more talking next year maybe. Or maybe in general, somewhere contribute a paper that just talks about system minimization. Yeah. A lot of hardware vendors were out there, and they created, and I mean, at all discredit the work they did, but they created distributions that really didn't match up with what people need for their board. And so there were several disconnects during the sessions where it was, okay, that's really nice, but, it doesn't really solve my problem. I don't understand what they're doing. How does it fit into my project? A lot of embedded devices really aren't desktop or laptop equivalents.
Yes. I guess the popularity of Pentium class processors, the fact that they consume less energy these days, allow them to be used directly in embedded systems.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that a lot of desktop users tend to converge onto kind of like more of an embedded space and are more conscious about the footprint of a root file system, things like boot time, how to build an embedded application and how to harness the performance.
Yeah.
Well, great. Thank you very much for all your insights from that conference. And as I said, next time, I'm hopefully going to be able to join you and enjoy the experience as well.
Okay. So. Well, thank you very much.
This podcast was brought to you by TimeSys. Check out our new site to get free code, discuss, and learn about embedded Linux development. Go to timesys.com today.